Mid-Bass Texture Layering Masterclass with Stock Devices Only, Advanced Edition. In this lesson, we're building that already finished drum and bass mid-bass, wide, gritty, animated, but still controlled and consistent across notes. And we're doing it the way a lot of modern DNB bass actually gets made: clear layer rolls, parallel processing, macro control, and then resampling to commit the vibe. Before we touch devices, quick mindset shift. We're not stacking cool sounds. We're stacking frequency jobs. Think of each layer like a band in a system. The sub is the foundation. The mids make the notes readable. The grit makes it translate on small speakers. And the top layer adds motion and stereo excitement. Once you assign those jobs, the mix stops being a fight. Step 0, session prep. Because if your monitoring lies to you, your bass choices will lie to you. Set the tempo around 172 to 175. Drop in a reference track that lives in the same neighborhood as what you're aiming for, whether that's roller, jungle, neuro, jump up, whatever. On the master, put spectrum after everything so you're seeing what you're actually hearing. Add a limiter just as a safety net, not as a loudness tool. And keep your master peaks living around minus 6 dB while you're building. You want headroom so distortion and dynamics behave. Now step 1. Write the MIDI pattern first. This is important, because the bass patch should be designed for the rhythm it's going to play. Make a 1 to 2 bar clip. Go for that spoken, syncopated rolling phrasing, short notes, offbeat pushes and tiny variations in length so it feels like a sentence. Keep your notes in a tight range, like around F to G to A depending on your key. And then duplicate the clip and make a B variation with one or two changes. That call and response is how your bass evolves without needing new instruments. Cool. Step 2. Create the layering container. Create a MIDI track, load an instrument rack, and make 4 chains. Name them SUB, mid-core, mid-grit, and top or noise. Everything stock. That's the point. You can absolutely do this with wave-eatable, operator, filters, saturation, multiband, and modulation. Now we build each chain with a strict roll. SUB chain. Clean, mono, uncheckable. Load operator. Use only oscillator A, set it to a sign. One voice, mono. Then EQ 8 with a gentle high pass around 20 to 30 Hz just to remove useless rumble. Then utility with width at 0%, or bass mono on if your version has it. That's it. Teacher note, if your sub is interesting, it's usually unstable. In DNB, the sub's job is not to entertain, it's to be reliable. Let the mid-bass do the personality. Mid-core chain, the meat, the note readability, the center of translation. Use wave-eatable or operator. With wave-eatable, start with basic shapes and go saw-ish or a harmonically rich squarish position. Add a small amount of unison, like two voices, low amount, then a subtle warp like FM or bend plus, just enough to make it talk without turning into noise. Low pass the synth filter somewhere between about 3 and 6 kHz depending how bright you want it, and add a little envelope movement so the note has articulation. Then the processing. First, auto filter high pass around 100 to 140 Hz, 24 dB per octave. This is one of the big secrets. Do your main splits with auto filter so the slopes and phase behavior are consistent. Then saturator in analog clip mode, drive around 3 to 6 dB, soft clip on. Then EQ 8 to tame harshness if it pokes, often in that 2.5 to 4.5k zone. Then utility to keep it mostly centered, like 0 to 30% width. Coach note here, level match constantly. After every saturator, every multiband, every cool device, trim the output so the perceived loudness stays similar. Advanced sound design is basically, make it cooler without making it louder. If you don't level match, you'll think louder equals better and you'll accidentally design a mix problem. Mid-grit chain, character, aggression, small speaker translation. This layer is where the bass gets that hardware-ish grind, but we're going to contain it. Try the operator FM approach. OSC is your carrier, sign. OSC bead is your modulator, also sign. Bring up B level gently until it starts biting, like starting around minus 20 to minus 10 dB and pushing until it speaks. Add a tiny bit of feedback if you want more rasp, but be careful. FM can make certain notes jump out like crazy. Then processing. Auto filter high pass around 140 to 200 Hz and go steeper, 24 to 48 dB per octave. We do not want this layer leaking low end back into the sub region. Now here's a pro move. Put an EQ 8 before distortion and band limit what you're about to smash. High pass around 180, low pass around 4 to 6k, steep. That means you distort the character band without wrecking sub, weight or fizzy air. Then go into pedal distortion. Drive around 20 to 40%. tone to taste so it doesn't become a pure fizz generator. Follow with amp, like rock or bass, but keep gain moderate. Add cabinet to give it that boxed, speaker-like focus. Choose a 4x12 or 8x10 vibe and pick a mic that doesn't honk too hard. Optionally, redux. And yes, it's deadly for D&B, but keep it subtle. A little bit reduction, minimal downsampling, then EQ 8 again. Keep that low cut, and shelf down above about 8 to 10k if it's spraying. Finally, utility. Keep width low, like 0 to 20%. Distortion plus width in low mids is how you accidentally build mono collapse. Teacher note. This grit layer should still be audible when you turn your monitors way down. If it disappears at low volume, don't just turn it up. Add harmonics, or compress it a touch, or reshape the distortion so it sits in the 250hz to 3k window. Top or noise chain. Stereo motion and air, not power. Think zipper, fizz, respray, that animated halo above the bass. Source can be wave-eatable noise if you have it, or a bright oscillator heavily filtered. Processing starts with auto-filter high-pass somewhere between about 500hz and 1.5k, then chorus ensemble for width and smear, amount maybe 20 to 40%, slow rate around 0.2 to 0.6hz. Add phaser flanger or frequency shifter for movement. With frequency shifter, tiny fine shifts like 10 to 50hz, with a slow LFO, can sound eerie and alive. Then EQ 8 to shape presence around 2 to 6K, and keep the very top controlled. Utility width can go wide here, 120 to 180%, because this layer is intentionally above the danger zone. If your version allows, mono anything below about 200hz as a safety habit. Key check, if you mute the top layer, the bass should still work. The top is seasoning, not the meal. Now step 7, glue it so it feels like one instrument. After the rack, or inside it is post-processing, add EQ 8 first for small surgical moves. Watch the mud zone around 200 to 400hz. That's weight, but it turns into cardboard fast. Also keep an eye on 1 to 2k where nasal bite can build. Then multiband dynamics. Try the OTT preset, but immediately back off. Aim for 10 to 25% amount. You're going for density and control, not that vacuum sealed, flattened thing. Then a gentle saturator, 1 to 4dB drive, soft clip-on, then glue compressor, ratio 2 to 1, attack 1 to 3 milliseconds, release auto or around 0.1 to 0.3 seconds, only 1 to 3 dB of reduction. We're gluing, not choking. Limiter only if you're resampling super hot. Extra stability trick, especially for FM or harsh distortion. Put a regular compressor on the MID core and MID grit chains, not the glue. Light ratio, like 2 to 1, medium attack and release. You're just leveling note to note so the patch feels finished across the whole riff. Now the masterclass part. Macro mapping. You want to perform the bass like an instrument, not automate 30 tiny parameters. Map macro 1 to sub level, macro 2 to mid core level, macro 3 to grit amount, and map it to multiple places at once. Pedal drive and amp gain, and also a little output trim so it doesn't just get louder. Macro 4 to top width, the utility width on your top chain. Macro 5 to tone or brightness. Mapping filter cutoffs on the mid-core and top layer. Macro 6 to movement rate, so your chorus, phaser, frequency shifter LFO speeds all increase together. Macro 7 to growl, which could be operator FM amount or wave-eatable warp. Macro 8 to blue, where you slightly increase multiband amount and maybe nudge blue threshold. Coach tip, make your macros self-correcting. For example, as movement increases, also pull down a high shelf above 8 to 10k just a touch. That way, when you automate harder motion, it doesn't turn into painful harshness. Now step 8, phase and mono checks. Don't skip. This is where sick in headphones becomes works in a club. Put a utility on the bass track and toggle width to 0% while you design, not just at the end. If your bass identity collapses in mono, it means stereo was doing the heavy lifting in the wrong frequencies. Bring stereo mostly into the top layer above about 500hz. Be very cautious with unison detune on anything contributing under about 200hz, and use spectrum to confirm. Sub should be a clean fundamental, mids should look like harmonic stacking rather than random spikes. Step 9, the resampling workflow. This is how you get that solidity and speed that people associate with Pro D&B Bass. Create a new audio track called Bass Resample. Set input to resampling, or route from your bass track. Record a long pass while you tweak only macros. Think of it like a performance. Then pick the best 2 to 8 bar chunk. Now treat it like audio. EQ 8 to carve mud and harshness. Tiny saturation. Small multiband if needed. Automate an auto filter for subtle motion. Then chop the audio to create fills, stutters, and call and response. Committing to audio is a superpower. It forces decisions and it makes editing fast and musical. Quick arrangement blueprint for 32-bar drop. Bars 1 to 8. Sub plus mid core only. Keep grit low. Controlled, confident. Bars 9 to 16. Bring grit and width in gradually. Brighten tone a bit. Bars 17 to 24. Call and response. Use your B variation or swap in different resample slices. Make the response have faster top movement so it feels like it answers. Bars 25 to 32. Peak energy. Increase movement rate. Add small filter sweeps. Nothing huge and EDMY. Keep it subtle. And add one or two fills that are created by removing something. For example, mute the sub for an eighth note before the downbeat. Silence equals impact. Common mistakes to avoid. Rapid fire. Layering without clear roles. Two layers doing the same job equals mud and phase issues. Stereo low mids. Wide under 200 HE is asking for weak mono and messy mix. Too much distortion too early. If you destroy harmonics before you filter and control, you'll be chasing harshness forever. No dynamics containment. Mid-bass will eat your drums unless you control it with multiband and gentle blue. And inconsistent sub. If your sub tone changes when you mess with mid layers, split it harder and keep it boring. Now a mini practice run you can do in 20 minutes. Build the 4-chain rack. Write a 2-bar rolling bass line with an A and B variation. Map 4 macros. Sub level, grid amount, tone and movement rate. Record a 1-minute resample jam touching only macros. Chop the best 8 bars and arrange 4 bars controlled, 4 bars full violence. Do the mono check at low volume and fix whatever collapses. And here's your final quality test. If you turn the volume down, the riff should still be obvious. And if you temporarily low cut the whole bass at around 150 HE just as a test, the identity should still be recognizable. That means your mid design is doing its job, not just your sub. That's it. You've built a 4-part mid-bass texture system with stock Ableton devices. You've glued it into one instrument, and you've set yourself up to arrange quickly with macros and resampling. This audio version is shortened for playback.